From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Oh, that's not good. This is the Yankee Podcast. The Dugout, live looking versus the O's, and Haney gives a back-to-back home runs to Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes. Oh, goodness, man. This is bad timing. We might have to end the episode. We just jinxed this shit. Damn, Yankees down 2-0. Yeah, I was ready to be positive and shit about the road trip and talk about what we saw over the past week versus the Rays versus the Marlins. The road trip, I'll give it a grade. I hope the stakeholders give us a grade as far as what they saw at Boston, at Tampa, at Miami. Man, listen. And the thing was, Jonathan Taillon was AL Pitcher of the Month. You know, quietly did a very good job in the month of May. Don't want to lose track of that. I think the stakeholders that are on right now, we're going to talk about everything over the last week because how things have changed as far as a couple of trades by Cashman, adding a couple of lefty bats, some power into the lineup, and get it a little mix and match with that. I think over the weekend, I believe, especially the games in Miami, had it not been for Anthony Rizzo, I think the Yankees would have had a hard time winning the series the way they did. Good sweep by them. I'll even go back to the series in Tampa, even with Cole on the mound, getting smoked like that in that last game. And that's the thing that's pissed me off all season is these type of games. We talked about it pretty much all season. You go into these games, winning the first two games of the series, you got an opportunity to sweep a team, and you blow it. And not only you blow, you got smoked. Moved on to the next game. Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, Odor. I think Tyler Wade played okay at third base for what it was. And then the bats have pretty much did okay over the weekend. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, man, and get everybody's thoughts. Live looking versus the O's. We got Susie Prof with us. We got Carl the C Notes with us. We got Jimmy with us as well. Susie Prof, Suzanne from Bleeding Yankee Blue, say hello to the people. We're going to lead off with you first, but just say a quick hello. We're going to go around and say hello to everybody. We're going to come back to you first, Susie Prof. Hello, how you doing? How's everything?
Hey, how's it going? Good. You know, I'm good. Living the dream here with, at the last second picking up Heaney, but like you said, you know, he's not having a great outing at the stadium tonight, but we'll talk about it. I'm glad to be here with the rest of the stakeholders and interested in the conversation.
Yeah, me too. Let me say this. I don't want to lose track. I like Cedric Mullins. He's a good player for the Orioles, man. I like him doing well. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't want to lose track of that. Because sometimes on these episodes, I'll be having trains of thoughts, and I'll be wanting to say on the episode, and I'll be forgetting to say that. Because he had the first home run of the game, I wanted to give him a shout-out, even on the opposing team. At the C-Notes, Carl, what's up, man? How's everything? Say hello to the people, man.
Hey, pleasant good evening, Steve. How are you? And good evening to everybody else as well.
Hey, man. Good. Everything's good with you, man?
Things are good. You know, it's been, last couple of days I had to leave the country for a little bit for a little family situation, but back in the States now. Okay. So I've missed a couple of the games, but I was able to actually catch a couple as well. Turns out they get the YES Network out of the country, so I was able to actually watch two of the games as well and take those in.
All right, cool. All right, cool. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what's up, man? Say hello to the people. How you doing, sir? Just say a quick hello. How's everything, man?
I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm ready to get this baseball thing started. Let's go Yankees, baby.
Let's get it started. Let's go Yankees. Let's go to Susie Prof. Susie Prof, what's your thoughts? What would you grade the road trip? I would give it about a C+. A C+. It could have gone up as high as a B+. Had they did at least salvaged one of those Boston games, and they would have swept the Rays. But that's kind of how I looked at it. How would you grade the road trip, and what are your thoughts on the trade that happened since the last episode and your thoughts on the series versus Tampa Bay and Miami? And then anything else you'd like to add? And we go to Carl after that. And then
yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I can't stress enough that the Yankees simply can't leave runners in scoring position. And if Rizzo can prevent some of that from happening consistently, I'll be thrilled. But we really just can't do that. We don't take advantage of, you know, the hits that we do get and the good opportunities that we do have early on in games to score, because then somebody like Gary Sanchez, who, you know, God bless him, he's been doing better, but he the base was loaded yesterday and runners are in scoring position, you know, and you just can't have that. So C plus, yeah, that's about where I would land, because, I mean, you're playing the Marlins. That should have been easy. That should have been, let me try a couple things. Let me mix and match. Let me figure out who's going to play where, as a manager, right? Instead, now I got a battle because I'm not taking advantage of the opportunities I have to score early on. And then you tax. I mean, then it's a domino effect, right? Then you tax the pitchers and the bullpen, and do things that you wouldn't normally do to win. I mean, I think I like what you said, Steve. It's frustrating to see, you know, them play a couple of good games and then get beat up so severely in the next two or every other game. It's like you can't make any headway that way. I am not unhappy about, you know, Justin Wilson being let go or, you know, giving him up. I am more concerned that Luis Sessa, who's kind of been somebody that came in and could eat up innings, is now gone, and I think that puts us at a disadvantage. With Herman going on to the DL, IL, for at least 10 days, Kluber is battling his way back, but, I mean, I hope he makes it back by September, but we don't know. I just think we're in a tough pickle in the bullpen, and if our hitters can't bail us out early on and we let the game get away, we're going to lose these games, and we've got to win in our division. We've got to win with urgency against the Red Sox and the Rays. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere. I mean, and then, you know, like to your point, we're losing to Baltimore now. Really? At home? Come on. You know, we can't do that. I'm not saying that we're going to lose this game. I'm hopeful that we'll hit the ball and we'll come back. But, you know, we can't do what we're doing right now by, you know, throwing out runs early on that we can't wind up making up at the end. So C-plus sounds about right to me, Steve.
Okay. I got questions for you when we come back around. Let's go to Carl, man. What's your thoughts from what you know of the road trip? What grade would you give it? And what's your thoughts as far as the road trip, Boston, Tampa, Miami, and your new additions, the trades, acquisitions, so on and so forth, and then we go to Jimmy.
So I know we talked about the Boston road trip last week on the program. So I probably should separate that out. But if we're counting that as part of the mix here in terms of the whole road trip, I would also give it a C as well. It seems as if, and I don't know if anyone else had noticed this during some of the games, and the two games that I missed was the Cole game, which apparently I really didn't miss much, and the Friday night game in Miami. It seems like when the Yankees are winning these games, you're essentially holding your breath the last two innings under the hopes that, like, man, can they just hang on? And, you know, I'm trying to figure out the last comfortable win. I'd have determined comfortable as, let's say, more than three runs. I have to take a look at the chart to see when the last game of such a type has been. But it seems like, you know, these last games, the games in even the games in Miami, you know, it seemed like they were just trying to hold on. Even though I never thought that the Marlins were really going to, you know, mount a serious challenge. And, you know, the fact that even those games were just kind of hanging in the balance late in that game. I know the game on Sunday, there was 1-0 into the eighth inning. I'm like, wow, really? You know, so that was one thing that kind of still has me wondering and still has me very leery about going as deep into the belief that this team will, you know, make that turn and officially, you know, stamp themselves as true contenders for the wild cards. But like I said, I don't believe that they'll catch Tampa Bay for the division specifically. But in terms of the trades, I thought that the trades themselves, particularly the offensive additions that they made, should send a signal to everyone in the camp that the Yankee, you know, there's a certain percentage of Yankee fans out there that want the Yankees to quote unquote play small ball or bunt more or hit and run more or whatever, you know, whatever old term that they want to use. They basically told you that they're not going to do that with these moves. They are going for the fence with the guys that they've got. They're looking for walks, home runs, and if the guys strike out, that's fine. And they got the guys that they've gotten. Rizzo's obviously, I've seen him in Chicago for wow. And basically since he was there, that was what, 2011, basically see most of his career. You know, he is a very good addition to the team. I did not know how that they were going to, you know, do the thing with Voit, but it looks like Voit's now going to be a part-time player. Rizzo's a plus-plus defender at first base, and also hits lefties much better than he hits right-handed pitching. So that's a very good addition in terms of that. Joey Gallo, as I've seen here in Texas, you know, I'm surprised teams are pitching to him even down here because that Texas lineup is awful. But the fact that they got him, you know, he's going to be able to provide a little bit of length in the lineup and also be able to run into a couple as well. And he's a plus defender. I think his WAR was, 4.3 going into the trade. So that's a very good addition. And let's just see now going forward whether or not the offense will sort of rediscover itself, something that we've been talking about all year but hasn't necessarily happened. Even in the three games in Miami, they didn't really score a whole lot of runs.
All right. He's going to go into the fourth inning, and Gallo struck out moments ago. Let's go to Jimmy. Live looking. What's your thoughts on the game right now, Jimmy, as well, today versus Baltimore? And what grade would you give the road trip? You know, Boston, Tampa, Miami.
First I'd give the road trip a C. Like, I mean, I think we did some good things, and you know, we did some not so good things. I mean, the good things was you know what I saw, you know, with you know with the Marlins. I think we did a lot of good things there. I mean, we stayed in those games and things like that, but again, you know, we expected that. You know, these you know, the Marlins after all are not, they're not the best team in the whole world. They're not great. So I expected us to stay with the Marlins. But I mean, the games against Boston and Tampa. I mean, there were some games that we looked really good against the Rays, and then there were some games that we, some games that we showed our mistakes. You know, the little things that we keep doing over and over again. You know, giving up long balls, and you know, making games tight, and you know, these are the little things that we can't do against teams. You know, I know this was mentioned already, but against teams in our division, you know, it's one thing to sweep the Marlins. That's all well and good, but again, my concern is if you can't do this against you know, teams like Baltimore, Tampa, the Blue Jays. If you can't do stuff against, you know, teams that are like on top of you, it's gonna be really, really hard to win a wild card like that. So I mean, I know we're losing to Baltimore right now, but I mean, I'm hopeful that we could somehow get it together. You know, we definitely have the hitters to do it. I mean, I definitely like the fact that we got Gallo and. You know, Gallo was a good pickup, and you know, I know he's not looking good right now, but I think he's gonna get there. I really liked what he did, you know, pitching for the Angels, and you know, I think he's got a little New York nervousness right now. I hope he gets it together. So I mean, those are my thoughts. Let's see if we can come back tonight. I think we still got a chance in this one. We just gotta get the bats together.
Well, we're going to have to get the bats together because, man, right before you started, Jimmy, Yankees were down 2-0, And as soon as you finish, they're now down 3-0. Mountcastle just launched one to left. it's a little bit of a home run derby for the Baltimore Orioles right now. 3-0 in the fourth. I don't know where you stand, Susie Prof or Carl. If I had to pick one game from that road trip, which one was the most disappointing? Yeah, I'm about to say, those two games in Boston really irked me, and I should be saying that. But I may have to go with that Tampa game, man, because Cole could have got out of that thing in the first inning, only down 1-0, and he gave him that big 3-run home run to Austin Meadows to make it 4-0. And the thing was, it was a tale of two Gerrit Coles, where he actually pitched okay. He struck out a lot of dudes through 5 innings, but it just that he gave him the big uppercut. The big uppercut set the Yankees back, and the Yankees really haven't shown the ability pretty much all year when you're down big early. They haven't been that grind team, you know what I'm saying, as far as catch up and scoring runs and comeback wins and stuff like that. Not this year's Yankees. Carl, you're right. I agree. And that's the same thing I noticed. The acquisitions of Gallo and Rizzo, they gave the middle finger to small ball. This is a home run or die team. We're going down with the ship. This is how we're rolling. And you're right about Rizzo being a defensive guy, a defensive first baseman. So you don't have to really worry about DJ LeMahieu always playing first and no Voit. And this is the crazy thing about this move. And I said this to you, Susie Puff, I think the last time you were on. The fact that I still vividly remember, I can never not bring this point up because I think this is so important and how things could change so fast. Where Luke Voit literally was the only player on the roster in spring training who literally had his job was secured. Like, he had no competition at first base. He went from that at spring training to literally out of the lineup by August 2nd. I think that is fucking amazing in a sad way. I think that is crazy that how usually most players on this roster, they have some sort of competition. And I remember Luke Voit having those interviews on, yes, live on TV. They were interviewing him, and he gave the answers. You know, I'm just going to be there. I'm going to, you know, continue on for what I did in 2020, you know, in that COVID year, led the league with the home runs. I mean, he went from that to out of the lineup. Just totally. So it goes to say that, you know, at least Cashman isn't just sitting on his ass. He's kind of like at least trying to go down with the plan, fill in for the plan, bring in guys to who adequate for the plan. And bringing in lefty bats, which was definitely needed, is right. I can understand the logic and the rationale of those moves. I don't have an issue with that sticking to the plan. But also, Carl, I give you props, and I understand exactly what you mean. I think it goes to the struggles of everybody else in the lineup. Is that 4-0? Yeah, 4-0, right? So, wow, it's home run derby. Susie Prof is probably on mute cussing right now. Urias and Lawyer too. So, I say all this to say, man. I mean, they gotta win these games versus Baltimore. You can't lose. You can't do what you did, winning 5 out of 6 versus the Florida teams and come back in a thud versus Baltimore. You have to win now. And Susie Prof, I want to say if you could give us your thoughts on this, because I think this goes important with Yankee history, because you're probably the only Yankee fan on his line who was alive when it happened, and I didn't realize it until somebody put the post up as far as the anniversary of the death of Thurman Munson, if you want to reminisce on that. And also any thoughts as well as far as this game, as you've seen it or watching it, or maybe you turn the TV off because you're pissed. I know how antsy you get really fired up. Give us any additional thoughts. I think somebody brought up Kluber coming back and Severino coming back, but I'm not necessarily counting on that. But what is your additional thoughts? If you any thoughts on Thurman Munson as well?
Yeah. So it was. It's funny you're bringing this up because it was a night just like tonight, nice and cool. We had just we were eating dinner outside at my home in Staten Island at the time, and my grandmother, who was alive at the time, who always stayed glued to the television, had called me to tell me that this tragic event had happened, and I I just remember being stunned because when you look at a guy like Thurman Munson, I mean, he was a guy with authority, right? I mean, he showed up at the games, he sweat, he busted his butt. You never heard people talk about Thurman Munson the way they talk about Gary Sanchez behind the plate. I mean, that was a guy that busted his rear end every single game, and he let you know if you didn't have your stuff as a pitcher, which was rare, right? Because we at the time had some really good pitching, and one of my favorites, Ron Guidry. So, I mean, the game then is so different than it is today. I mean, Thurman Munson, I didn't hear things like rest days. I remember him being a little bit older and playing first base every so often to save his knees, but you never heard that guy complain. You didn't have these people go on the IL like they do today for a hangnail. It's just a very, very different game. And I'll be honest with you, Steve, I get frustrated a lot. You're right. Honestly, the Olympics have been keeping my mind away from the nonsense that I saw over the last several series, which is why the C-plus is something that I agree with. And I can't stand errors, particularly when I see Gleyber Torres make a big error. I know Rune Dodor had a tough error the other evening, too, that almost cost us the game. You just have to play clean baseball. And I agree, Carl, they don't want to play the small ball, but the teams that have been winning as of late have taken advantage of the small ball. I think they've gotten some speed, in the ranks right now, which is definitely going to help them. It has to. But I can't tolerate just, inconsistency in baseball. And I don't think one player needs to lead the whole team. It can't be all on Cole's shoulders. That's unrealistic. It can't all be on Rizzo's shoulders either. And this is what I wrote about over the weekend. It's got to be a team effort. And they have to play hard and they have to want it, just like Thurman Munson and his team wanted it. And he was a true leader. He was a true captain. And it took a very, very long time before we had another captain that had the presence of a Thurman Munson. So, I mean, we lost a great man that day, both for the sport as a father. He was also a great husband. And the legacy of the Munsons live on at Yankee Stadium and within the Yankee organization. And certainly, I commend the work that he did, and he was fun to watch. And that's how baseball needed to be played. And I don't see anybody like him today that plays to that kind of consistency and devotion and commitment and having the presence that he had on the field. And I'll be honest with you, Steve, it sounds like I'm the biggest Thurman Munson fan, and I'm not. I just respect him and respect what he did for the game.
One more question, and then we could go to Carl. And if you have any questions for Carl, Jimmy, or myself, let me ask you this about Stanton, man, because Carl brought up a point as far as protecting the other guys in the lineup who haven't been doing their jobs up until this point. And Stanton is one, obviously, the big contract. He just looks really uncomfortable, man, since the All-Star break. I mean, it's an eyesore to watch. I don't know what – I mean, they even tried put him in the field and, put him in left and put him in right. But, I guess the question is, what can they do? Because I put it like this. I thought he was effective. Remember earlier in the year he was batting second and he was actually hitting well? And then they went, and when he got injured, they brought him back. He started to hit at the second spot in the lineup, but then they moved him down in the lineup. Is it more open? Does he think it's too much pressure at him at 4 and 5 in the lineup? What was your thoughts on that?
Steve, he's just been a train wreck. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if he just is in over his head. Again, the pressure that a player has on their shoulders coming to New York in particular, I think all players have pressure on them. I'll use the example, and I'm one of those kids that, you know, I went to a state university. I went to SUNY. I'm one of four kids, and my father said, you have one chance. I'm going to pay this tuition for you. You have one chance. If you screw up, you're out, right? And I took that to heart, to meaning I'm going to go to every class, even if I'm dragging my butt because of whatever I did the night before or I didn't feel it that day. I'm going to drag my butt, and I'm going to put all I can into whatever I do. And if I don't know how to do something, I'm going to ask, and I'm going to go to the library. I'm not just going to look at it from the outside. And I'll be honest with you, Giancarlo Stanton needs to reinvent himself. I don't know what happened when he flew up from Miami and he came to New York. I mean, that first season he was okay. I mean, when Judge was hurt, he played over 150 games. And God bless him. But after that, I don't know if he had some kind of post-traumatic stress. I don't know what happened to him, but he can't play. And he's not consistent. Then they talk about his stance and everything else. And honestly, when I saw him, the few times that I did see him out in the field, I was anxious with him in the field because I didn't think that – I don't know if it's his depth perception. I don't know what's wrong with him. But honestly, he's more like a Bobby Bonilla to me, unfortunately, which was Bobby Bonilla Day on July 1st, than he is the caliber of player that we bought several years ago. And I think he's just going to have to play out his contract and just go away. I don't think we can get rid of him unless we can get savvy and get somebody else to pay part of his contract. I just don't think he's New York material. I don't know if the mental toughness is just not there for playing with a team like New York. But, you know, if you hear Anthony Rizzo stand up and saying, I'm in New York now, like this is my team, and, you know, I'm going to play hard. I mean, but that's a guy that came from the Cubs. He came from Chicago, which is another tough team to play for, given the fan base and the city atmosphere and whatnot. I don't know if it was just so laid back in there and he just kind of did his thing and went home. He likes the warm weather, but Steve, he's a train wreck, and I am just never going to be able to live a day where I'm going to see that guy turn this thing around in New York. I really not. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just realistic at this point. And even guys that I know that follow me on Bleeding Yankee Blue, you know, they were big Stanton fans. They were all in when Stanton was, you know, acquired by the Yankees, and they didn't care about the contract. And then all of a sudden, now they're, like, turning on him because they just don't see what we saw in Miami, how he could be a home run leader one year and slowly decline into, we're lucky if he can get a hit in at bat and go 1-for-5. So it's just sad to see. But no, I don't think he's going to amount to anything, Steve, unfortunately.
All right. Cole, what's your thoughts as far as Stan as well? And anything else you'd like to add as far as, you know, the Yankees down in this game currently? A couple games behind Oakland in the wild card. I think we all agree that the division is a wrap, and we're going to keep on reiterating that point for the rest of the season just to keep tabs. But anything else you like that? Any positives you've seen since the All-Star break, even maybe within the last 10 games with the road trip? Anything else you'd like to add? Or, and then we go to Jimmy.
Yeah, let me give a positive to Jamison Tyone and his pitching the last – and also Jordan Montgomery, who for whatever reason – like, I don't know, he's been getting what I've referred to as the grand this season. Like, this man literally gets zero run support. I think someone could check this. I think in his last, like, nine starts, I think he's gotten a grand total of, like, two total runs of support. I know in the game he pitched the other night, they only gave him one before when he left the game. And I think the game before, he also got one run as well. But, like, this man gets literally no run support when he pitches in these games. I want to give him a bit of credit as well, because I found it pretty odd. And it's something that I've been sort of fighting fans on for the longest time. Like, I don't really totally believe in the idea of pressure in terms of the Yankee uniform somehow making you a better or a worse player. I just don't buy that at all. I'll explain why when I talk about Stanton in a minute. But when Tyone was not pitching well, folks blamed the pressure of New York. Now all of a sudden Tyone's pitching well, and no one's mentioning that anymore. Wait, the same, nothing. No, the environment hasn't changed. The pitcher just performed better. And so we're not talking about that anymore. You know, there have been pitchers in the past that have sort of come along and, you know, for whatever reason, have not, you know, performed up to, I guess, what the fans or the, you know, management's expectations of that particular player was. But more, it's probably more likely if you just look at now the long, you know, the sort of sample size of players, perhaps the Yankees just simply were getting the wrong players. In terms of Stanton, you know, Susie just mentioned about, you know, and she, I make sure I was writing down, she said what we saw in Miami. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, what exactly did we see in Miami? Because Marlin games were not games that you were going out of your way to watch. And so I'm looking at Stanton's previous line before he was traded. And essentially, outside of that outlying year, that outlier year of the 59 home runs, you know, Stanton's average in terms of batting average, on base percentage, home runs, RBIs, OPS are just, you know, I'm looking at it, 2016, 470 at bats, 27 homers, 74 RBIs, 815 OPS. If you look at his numbers right now, they're basically on pace to kind of do the same thing. The year before that, he got hurt. I think that was the year he got hit in the eye, or maybe the year before. And then the season in 2014, he was 37-105 and then an OPS of 950. So basically, his career has sort of been a mixed bag to start with. It wasn't like when he was with Miami, he had, you know, seven great years of performance, and then all of a sudden came to the Yankees and then just sort of just shrank. Like, his performance year to year has been sort of, you know, there's been exorbitant highs, and then there's sort of been above-average performance. Stanton, for the most part, has been outside of, you know, the 2018 year when he played okay, I thought, but relative to his, you know, previous numbers, was right in line with what he normally would do. And then this year, you know, he's probably, by the time it's all said and done, going to finish right around his career averages. It just looks terrible because what the problem I think everybody has probably noticed is that day to day, he does not provide you with quality at bats and performance that you can justify, you know, his salary and his place on the team, his status on the team, his place in the lineup. You know, I've compared him with J.D. Martinez because they were both acquired by both the Yankees and the Red Sox in the same offseason. And I think we've seen both players now for three-plus seasons now. And does anybody disagree that when you watch J.D. Martinez on a day-to-day basis, especially against the Yankees, that this guy gives you more than high-quality at-bats in, day out, at bat in, at bat out, compared to Stanton, who's swinging sometimes pitches, you know, 10 feet before they get to the strike zone? Like, you know, we're almost relying on Stanton basically, you know, giving you a 10-game stretch of incredible performance and then sort of, you know, giving you really basically nothing for the next 30. Like, I, like having performance like that that is, you know, that kind of yo-yo is very, very problematic. And I think what we may have to examine is what was his performance in Miami before he came to the Yankees in terms of day-to-day, quality at bats, what was he providing? Because I think we maybe come to the conclusion is that the Yankees simply saw the 2017 Stanton and just sort of expected, you know, that level of performance when that might not have been really the case at all.
All right. Thank you very much on that. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what any additional thoughts? What you heard from Carl and Susie Prof? What's your thoughts? Anything else you'd like to add? Any positives?
You know. For the most part, I think the positive I would say is, I mean, you know, Tyone's been the only guy that's kind of, you know, consistent. But the problem is it doesn't look that way because, again, like what was already said, we don't give a dude run support. So, you know, if we did, you know, I think his ERA would be, way down from what it is. But I mean, outside of him, like he's the only pitcher that's pitching kind of decent. Well, besides him and Cole. You know, when you only have two, when you only have two decent pitchers, that, in my opinion, doesn't make a good baseball team. You don't have a good baseball team. You have to have at least three good ones. You know, and, you know, since we only have two right now, I mean, that's gonna really hurt us down the road. So, I mean, that's something that's gotta be looked into. I think the division is getting more and more out of reach each day. You look at the game now against the Orioles. I mean, these are games that good baseball teams find ways to win. Good baseball teams find ways to win in their division, you know, and do whatever we gotta do. I feel like we can only win against teams not in our division. It seems like, oh, we play really hard against them. We want to win against the Marlins or somebody that's not in our division. We play hard. But I feel like as soon as the division team comes up, we'll play half okay, you know. You know, we'll do little things here and there. But it's like, you know, you can't do that. You got to play with your heart every single game. You know, and that's what the Yankees aren't doing, and that's why we're in the position that we're in. You know, as far as the whole Stanton thing goes, I think everybody just got caught up in the name, and you know, the stats of the Marlins. Everybody was like, ooh, you know, we're gonna get the 2017 Stanton, but you know, it goes to show you you can't just always go by previous stats and say this guy's not good. I mean, I know this is a baseball show, but I gotta bring it up. Look at how crazy Jets fans went over, you know, when they got Brett Favre for that year. Everybody was like, oh, we're gonna get Brett Favre, you know, not thinking about, you know, it was way beyond this time, but everybody got caught up in the name, and that's what I think everybody did, you know, with Stanton. You know, they were just like, oh, you know, he was pretty decent in Miami. There's the guy we're gonna get. That doesn't always happen. So I hope we all learned a lesson from that. You know, and so those are my thoughts on that. And I hope we can come back in this game because there's a must win game right now. We gotta win these games. We can't be losing to Baltimore.
Yeah, we've won a lot of games against the Orioles, and sometimes I think as a fan, guys and gals, that maybe they're due a couple games against us. But I don't want to think that right now, man. You're right, Jimmy. We need to close the deal. Rodriguez is on the mound. You know, somebody brought it up. I think it was Carl or Susie Pro, that they make it interesting. These late, you know, later in the games. Oh, it was Carl that said it. It was about these games are closed. It's not like just easy street. The bullpen come in. The bullpen came in and did a good job in Tampa, man. I remember the pinch hit substitution by Kevin Cash. Nelson Cruz pinch hit in that Chapman at bat. Chapman pitching against Cruz. I thought that was fun to watch. He got the best of him. I'm kind of surprised in a way that he pinch hit in that situation, but I'm not, because Nelson Cruz, if you look at his stats in the pinch hitting situation, is terrible. But I think, you know, Kevin Cash was going for the Hail Mary at that point, and it worked in the Yankee favor. But another guy, Nestor Cortez, actually pitched well in Tampa as well. I want to give him props as well. So you talk about Taillon, you talk about Montgomery, you talk about Cortez giving you nice, effective five innings, keep you in the game. Then you go to Lickey, and then you go to Britton, and then, of course, Chad Green, who actually has been an up and down since, you know, the Houston game, the Boston game, but did a nice job in that one inning. And Chapman, you know, he makes things interesting. Guy will get on base, and then, you know, he'll just hold on. You know, the radar goes up as the inning goes along with him. You already know his thing. You know, Susie, let me ask you a question, man. I, this is interesting because we have a log jam. I mean, the more the merrier, whatever, right? I understand the moves with Gallo, you know, outfield, you know, you got Judge. Yeah, Gallo. But guys I actually like played in the small sample way. Greg Allen, Esteban Floreal. I know Greg Allen had the injury. He had like a knee, he hurt his knee. But, you know, I like his style, man. You know, I do, you know, you get on base, he'll steal, force the action. He'll manufacture runs. Like, is there a way we could get him in the game or, you know, how we could get him more playing time? Because I think ever since the trade in the small sample size, he's been coming off the bench, you know, substitution-wise, you know. Well, what's your thoughts as far as Greg Allen, Esteban Floreal, and their small sample of games? And then how can we incorporate them? Is it more going to be them in pinch run situations, substitution situations in, like, seventh, eighth innings? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, I wrote about Greg Allen about a couple weeks ago because I really thought he was bringing a little bit of life into a very dead lineup and, you know,
sure
speed
was.
As well. And so he's actually fun to watch. And if you read about him, he's been fun to watch through the years. Cleveland he played for and, you know, he was fun to watch there. He seems to be consistent, a good little player. And it was a shame to see him get hurt. I hope he gets back into the lineup soon again because I really liked what we saw in him and that small ball he was like the Luke Voit from a couple of years ago in bringing the life back. Floreal, Greg Allen has several more years under his belt. Than a Floreal who's 21 years old, still's got a ways to go, I think, to develop. But I like what I see in him. I've always liked what I saw in him, and I'm really glad that they didn't give him up at the trade deadline, to pick up a big-name player or even a pitcher, God forbid. I mean, I really was hoping to get Mad Max, to be honest with you. But I leave it to the Dodgers to sort that out with him out there. But at the end of the day, the young guys give life to this team, and the organization itself prides itself in creating the future, if you will. And so I root for guys like Floreal, like Labor. I mean, I know he wasn't originally in our organization, but we did groom him up. I mean, we did groom Sanchez. I'm not in love with him, as you know, but we groomed Brett Gardner. We groomed Derek Jeter. There's a lot of legacy in homegrown and at the Yankees. And Greg Allen, although not homegrown, you know, seems to have that energy of coming up and playing for a team for the first time, and I appreciate that a lot. And good for him. I hope he comes back into the lineup and does some more damage for us in a good way.
Yeah, because there was a play, I think it was on Friday, and he laid down a bunt, but it was a hell of a play by a catcher. I think it was Alfordo for the Marlins. Just little things like that, try to catch you off guard. Try to make things, switch things up. But, I think there was one game also before that, and I think I saw it on your Twitter and with the Bleeding Yankee Blue family where he, like, got on base, stole, took third on and then a sack fly. Like, him manufacturing runs just the old school way. It was refreshing to watch, man. Hey, Carl, anything else you'd like to add, man? As we're down halfway through this game, anything else you would like to add as far as – I thought the bullpen's been okay over the last week. And they've been giving us a very suspenseful last three innings of games, seventh, eighth, and ninth, for, like, it seems like the whole season. Your thoughts, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, they couldn't have been couldn't be worse than when they were about a week ago, when it seemed like each guy,
true.
You know, was getting forced. So that's definitely a market improvement. You were just asking about Greg Allen. The problem is that left field and right field until further notice is occupied. So there's only one position that is open on this team as it stands right now, and that's center field. And I think the problem is going to come into play. And maybe the manager and maybe the organization is going to have to decide, at what point is Brett Gardner no longer a useful player? I think that question has to be answered soon if you believe Allen one, can play center field, and two, should supplant Gardner in that position, or are they just going to ride Gardner out until they no longer can do so? Because I think that's the only way that Allen finds himself in the lineup. There's no other way. You know, they're not moving Gallo. They're not moving Judge. You know, when you get players, when you get a guy like Gallo, he's basically a player that you're not going to bench. You know, the Yankees have a lot of those kind of guys. Guys that are, you know, that's where the whole inflexibility argument has come into play, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have these players set up in such a way, or you have this roster construction in such a way, where if there's any type of struggle, you're not going to replace him with somebody else. You know, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to ride out player X, whoever that is. And we're seeing that, like, for instance, with Gleyber Torres. You know, if you, by the way, have you guys seen the quality of Torres' at bats? I remember I asked this question a couple weeks ago about whether or not, you know, Torres' like last 500 at bats were a fluke. I don't think they're a fluke anymore. Like, the quality of his at bats are just poor. Is anyone noticing the same thing?
Susie, probably want to talk about Torres. I'll let you have some of that, and then we get Jimmy's
talk. He's batting eighth tonight, by the way.
Torres has just. I mean, do you really want me to talk about Torres this season? I'm just not seeing it in him, and I'm not feeling it in him, and that even doesn't even speak about just the at bats. He doesn't even seem comfortable at shortstop, honestly, which I've been saying all along. So at the end of the day, I just don't know where he's going to continue to fit in this team. I think they're trying to make him fit, but if we would have gotten Trevor Story, it would have been a different story now, wouldn't it?
Carl?
No pun intended. you know what? I think the problem is that adding, if you look at Story's numbers this season, they have been poor as well. And I don't know what to make of that, especially where he plays. Like, you know, one thing we've seen with a lot of Colorado players that their numbers are inflated by the fact they're playing at Coors Field. His numbers have been bad, and he plays at Coors Field this season. So something is going on there. And I think somewhere in the lineup and the way this construction thing has to play out, you know, they either need switch hitters or they need some more lefties in the lineup. I think tonight's the first time that they've had four lefties in the lineup. You know, unfortunately, you know, I don't know whether or not they have come to the conclusion that Torres is a lost cause. You know, this is now two seasons now of, and originally it was because allegedly last year it was because he was overweight. I don't know where that came from. And now this year you watch him play and just, you know, I have to check the Statcast numbers on his exit velocity, the measure of how hard, you know, the ball is being hit off his bat. I remember at some point in June it was like among the worst in the league. Like, he's not even making hard contact with the, you know, with the ball coming off his bat, which is very problematic. And I think at that point, you know, people are like, well, let's just trade him for a better player. Well, you can't trade him based on his you know, last, you know, going on 2 years now of production. Like what is his value? He has no value, you know, unless you're trying to convince somebody that he's really the player from a couple of years ago, which you would not be able to convince any sane general manager that that's true. So unfortunately, you know, you're stuck sort of just riding this out until you get to the point where you're just like, you know what, guys, this is what he is. And, you know, we're not going to be able to do anything with him, and we're just going to, you know, have to bite the bullet and either say goodbye or find someone that's much better than him to replace. And then, of course, there's the money aspect of how much that's going to cost. I mean, there's some good free agents on the market this coming off season, but as you saw just in this last trade deadline, you know, the Yankees got the Cubs and the Rangers to take all the money of the two players that they acquired. You know, so where is this money going to come from to sign, you know, said player for, you know, $150 million.
Carl, let me ask you this real quick before we go to Jimmy. Let me ask you this. Is it more of a respect factor out of the clubhouse with Brett Gardner that he's that because he's the longest tenured Yankee on the roster, right? So, meaning center field, as bad as he's been, And we've seen it, what, a couple of seasons ago. We've seen them get hot, but I don't think that's going to happen this year. But I think it's more of a respect factor versus what happened with Luke Boyd, right? Meaning Greg Allen could play in center field. I mean, we've seen Judge. We saw Aaron Judge in center field over the weekend. They put Stanton in right field tonight. So I say all this to say if Greg Allen had – if it wasn't Brett Gardner – maybe Allen would probably have more playing time. And you see, and I, this is where I agree with Susie Proctor wholeheartedly. Greg Allen, like she said, with with Allen, his tenure with Cleveland, he gives you life. Like, he's moving on the pace pass. It's clear as day, you know? He creates things. He makes things happen. I think the Yankees, give me your opinion on that. Is it more of a respect factor for Gardner that they brought him back and, you know, is Brett Gardner, he's going to get in the lineup no matter what because it's Brett Gardner. Is that the way the Yankees are looking at it, or is it possibly his job to probably really lose?
Well, the respect factor does have to – you would think that would play a role in it. But The problem with that saying that is that if we are now saying that he has to play because of the respect factor – in a situation where the team, like, you know, the way this
No, I'm asking. Oh, no, I'm not saying it is. Oh. I'm just asking, do you think that's possible? That's what it is.
It's possible. Yeah, I think it's possible.
Okay.
Which will also be kind of hypocritical of the Yankees to do that because they're also saying it in the exact same breath that this is happening. They're also saying that they need to win games every day. So they're saying they need to win games every day, but – we need to keep Gardner in the lineup out of respect when potentially there's a better player that is sitting on the bench that's not playing. Like the two don't equate.
Carl, I have to respectfully disagree. I think Gardner was playing because they needed somebody to play because people were hurt. Right?
Well,
I
agree.
I don't think
they had
it's
nobody
a respect
else.
Thing.
They had
I think
in the lineup I've
right,
ever heard of.
I think if everybody was healthy, Gardner would be a non-factor this year. But the fact that he has to play, I think, is too much reliance on somebody that's sunsetting his career at this point. And Gardner fans, and I'm one of them, you know, have reached out and said, I think he's playing too much. But they have no choice. It's too much on that man. He didn't need to work so hard. And have critics go after him saying he's only batting 191, he's batting 194, the year that he did well was an anomaly. No, I think that was a great year for him a couple of years ago when he was hitting home runs and he was, you know, at his best. But he wasn't supposed to, in the last 2 years, play the way he's playing. The reason why he is because the Yankees can't stay healthy. And it's a shame because he could have come out of that last, you know, great year that he had in 2019 to just being a part-time player, filling in here and there, pinch hitting, maybe pinch running for somebody because he can run real well. And that would have been a great way to sunset his career. Now, it's the reliance on him is just too heavy and too deep. So, honestly, he would be a non-factor if Giancarlo Stanton, for instance, could play the field. But I'd take a Gardner 100 times over a Giancarlo Stanton in the field because he's just not able to play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, overexposure would be the term we would use in this case.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we got a game to watch. There's a few more innings left. Yankees, struck out. Gardner,
Yanks don't have a hit.
Up to get the second. They don't really.
Yanks have no hit.
All right, we gotta get off, man. We gotta break that up. We gotta get ahead, man. So we gotta get off this episode. So Jimmy, give us a final thoughts. And then we're gonna go back to Carl and get Susie Prof final thoughts. So Jimmy, give us your final thoughts. In games after that. God, let me look at the schedule. Who the hell we got? Go ahead, Jimmy. Fire away. Final thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you know, my final thoughts are easy. We just have to find a way to win against the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, it's simple as that. We can't be losing to a team that's got, you know, they don't have good hitters, they don't have great hitters, you know. So we gotta find a way to, like I've said tonight, we gotta find a way to win games in our division because those are the games those are the games that matter. You know, the little games against those non-division wins. You know, we're at the point of the season now. We're like, they don't really help you much as far as wild card goes. You know, when people look at wild card, they don't look at how did somebody do against teams not in their division? You know, they don't look at that. You know, they look at how do you do against Tampa? How do you do against Boston? How do you do against Toronto? That's what they look at. You know, if we can't get it together against those teams, it's gonna be really hard. So we gotta find a way to do something. You know, yeah. That's all I can say. I hope some miracle happens when we come back. Because if we don't come back tonight, we're gonna be in big trouble. So let's go Yankees, man.
Let's go Yankees. Shout out to Jimmy, man. Kings Eagle 1, man. Thank you very much, Carl. Let's get final thoughts from you, man.
You know, in this final 8-week stretch, the Yanks need Cole to be what they paid for. You know, these last number of starts here have not, outside of that game I was at in Houston, and it was bookended, you know, by that shortened game against the Red Sox. But then the last two starts have been, you know, he hasn't given them what they are expecting. I think they need a stretch where if he gives them, let's just say, 10, you know, 11 starts the rest of the way, you know, a situation where he is, you know, 9-2 with 1.8 ERA, where he's, you know, where each game you give him, it's an assured win. And right now, when the Yankees are giving him the ball, the Yankees are not assured of anything when he is getting the ball. And if you're going to make this run here these last 8 weeks, he has to be the anchor of the rotation. You can't rely on, you know, Tyone or Montgomery or fill in the blank, or certainly not the way back, you know, certainly not the guy giving up home runs tonight. You know, they need to have at least one guy where they are assured each time he gets the ball that they are going to win that day. And if they don't get that, then it's going to be trouble.
I totally agree. At the C-Notes, man, shout-outs to Carl, man. Thank you very much, man. And Susie Prof, your final thoughts. Bleeding Yankee Blue, any articles this week from you?
Of course. I'll be writing this week. As I said yesterday, I wrote about, or Sunday's piece was about not putting the burden of the season on one player. So as much as, yes, we paid for Cole, unfortunately, and we paid heartily, unfortunately, putting all of our reliance on that guy to go out every single time he's up in the rotation and pitch with dominance, as much as I say we paid for dominance, that's not realistic. That's superhuman. And unfortunately, the salaries are so inflated today that the expectation is that guy needs to go out every 4 or 5 games and dominate. And we can't rely on that, unfortunately. So, I mean, I see myself, you know, focused on, you know, the here and now, what we need to do, trying not to get overwhelmed and feeling defeated when I write these pieces, because it's hard to write about a team that you're seeing starting to disintegrate their hopes in going to the postseason, a team that was supposed to be dominant. And I don't know why they keep getting injured, these players. I don't know, you know, how we can stay more consistent at both at the plate and on the mound. But we better figure out a formula that's going to work very quickly, because, as Carl said, we've got 8 weeks to – that's our destiny. We meet our destiny in 8 weeks with this team, and it's either going to be a photo finish and we're going to get in, or it's going to be one of those lost seasons. And I think I wrote a piece about this team is very forgettable. And we're going to see a lot of change next year, because we can't have what we have going on right now on this team. So I'll probably be trying to stay positive, Steve. You know me. But I'm also going to call out the nonsense when I see it.
You sure will. You sure will. And we'll be around to watch that throughout the week. We see it on Bleeding Yankee Blue. Thank you very much. Let's get to this game, man. We'll be back next Monday. They'll be in Kansas City. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, right? So we'll probably do another live look-in at the start of that game at 8 p.m. next week, next Monday. Shout-outs to Carl. Shout-outs to Jimmy. Shout-outs to Susie Prof, Suzanne, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And I hope you guys enjoying the rest of the start of August baseball here and Major League Baseball 2021 season. The Yankees, let's catch up, man. Let's go. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.